I'd like to read from the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 14. In this Bible, it's on page 801. The book of Proverbs, and chapter 14, and verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Chapter 16. Go on a page or two. Book of Proverbs. Chapter 16. Verse 25. 800, page 804 of this Bible. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. John's Gospel. Chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And verse 4. John 14 and verse 4. Jesus speaking. And ye know where I go, and ye know the way. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. I went to walk yesterday. A nice walk at Stormont. There were some nice walks around here. But we walked up a path and we eventually came to a place and someone who's here tonight said this. There are five different ways you can go from where we are. Five different ways. I didn't add them up. I don't know what's correct or not. But it just reminded me of a scripture in John's Gospel that Jesus said, I am the way. Now in the Proverbs, we've read two verses. I expect you've noticed they're both the same. There are one or two passages in the Bible like that, which repeat something. I'm not going to guarantee I know them all, and I'm not going to go over them all. But I just say this, that when something's repeated twice in the Bible, and God says it, it must be very, very important. Somewhere in the book of Job, it says God speaks once, yea twice, and man perceives it not. And one of the things that God says in the Bible is, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't know what kind of way you're on. I don't know where you're travelling, where you're going in your life. We all start life somewhere. We all start by being born. Of course, God knew us before we were born. In the Old Testament, there's one of the Psalms that speaks about God knowing everything about us. He even knows us before we're born. He knows all our members when we're still in our mother's womb. God knows everything about us. He knows about our down sitting, where we sit down. He knows when we rise up. He knows wherever we are, whatever we're doing. He knows everything about us. And he knows what kind of life we're living at the present time, whether we're young, whether we're at school, whether we're studying, whether we're at work, whether we're retired. Goes with everything about us. And David, who writes that Psalm 139, he says, eventually, search me, O God, and know my heart. Prove me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And the way everlasting will be tied up with our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who said, I am the way. One way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Many attempts to please God that people have had in past times, But Jesus said very specifically, and it's very important, and a very simple statement, he said, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So I preach, and I preach unashamedly, an exclusive gospel. Mm-hmm. But there's salvation in one person, and one person alone. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one mediator of God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we all need to find God. He's not far from anybody. Anybody in the world, he's not far. And the world's near us, Paul says. But we need to find God. We find him through Jesus. Because we are sinners. We've wronged God. We've come short of God's glory. And it says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Wonderful that Jesus should come here into this world of sinners like us. Wonderful that God should demonstrate his kindness and love to humanity when Jesus came into the world to seek and to save us who were lost. I want to tell you about some people in the Bible who went on a wrong way. I don't know if you've gone on the wrong way. If you were brought up in a Christian home, as I have been, it's possible and likely that you're guided aright to start with. You hear about Jesus in your house. You hear about him if you come to Christian meetings like this. Many people are not in that position today. A lot more people than when I was young are in no Christian background at all, can't even find their way about the Bible or anything like that. But God's still reaching out in his grace, his long-suffering towards all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, the first person I want to tell you about in the Bible is Cain. Because it speaks about Cain. There's a message in the New Testament about those who want to go in the way of Cain. Cain is a man who's mentioned early on in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, and he had a brother. Cain was a man who cultivated the ground and eventually brought an offering to God. Abel was a man who looked after sheep, and he also brought an offering to God. And it speaks about God that he looked upon Abel and his offering, and he looked upon Cain and his offering. He did not look. God was not pleased with the offering of Cain. He brought his own efforts. And there are people today who think, well, if there's a God at all, I'm doing a good job. I try to do my best. I give to people. I do this and that. And not realizing that all have sinned. You've sinned, and I've sinned. You don't need to be very old to realize you're a sinner. I can remember when I was 7, I remember telling a lie. I remember having a bad conscience about it. I know what lie it was, too. I had been at a gospel preaching at this, and a man came up to me afterwards and he said, have you confessed the Lord? And I said, yes, and that was a lie. Thank God I have confessed the Lord since then. I trust you've all confessed the Lord. I trust you all know the Lord as Saviour, but if you don't, what an opportunity it is now to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there's such a thing as sin in the sight of God. It's evil in the sight of God. Now Cain, he brought something to God. He thought by his own efforts and by all the hard work that he put into cultivating the ground that he would please God. Abel was a different man. Abel must have known something above what had happened before to his parents. You know, Adam and Eve sinned. Cain and Abel's father and mother sinned. They disobeyed God. God told them what to do and what not to do, and they disobeyed God. And alas, brought down the whole human race, because we belong to a fallen race, to the race of humanity. And everybody in the world needs a saviour. Thank God there's a saviour provided by God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But it speaks about Cain and Abel, that we brought an offering to God. And God looked upon Cain and upon his offering. He looked upon Abel and upon his offering. And Abel's offering spoke about the need of sacrifice in order that God might be satisfied. A God whose parents, Adam's parents, Cain and Abel's parents had disobeyed God. They had disobeyed God. They'd got thrown out of the Garden of Eden because they disobeyed God. But God, in his wonderful mercy, he had clothed Adam and Eve with an animal sacrifice. And it pointed on to the death of Jesus. But there is a way where God can be pleased, can be satisfied. But it means an acknowledgement that we're sinners and someone had to die in our stead. And that's what the gospel message is all about. That we're sinners, we become alienated from God by wicked works, but God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ a way of escape for every one of us. Jesus was here as the sinless one, perfect in every way, living for God's pleasure when he came into this world, sin apart, but manifesting the kindness and love to man of a Saviour God when here. And the Lord Jesus didn't only live a perfect life. He died. He was put to death by people who hated him. He was also, when he was on the cross, he entered into an amazing transaction with God, when him that knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. But it speaks about the way of Cain. Now what Cain did, he brought an offering to God, and Abel also brought an offering to God, and God was pleased with Abel and his offering, because it spoke to him of Jesus and his death. And Cain's offering spoke about his achievement. Don't people make much of their achievements? What a boastful society we live in today. People boast about their achievements in business, their own government, or whatever they're doing, or military achievements. God takes account of that. But what God values is the death of Jesus. But through the death of Jesus, he's opened up the way of blessing to us who are sinners. God took account of Abel and his offering, and he took account of Cain and his offering. But alas, poor Cain, he didn't listen to God. God's sending out a message today, telling us that we're sinners, but also drawing attention to Jesus as the one and only way whereby we can get right with God, and that's through Jesus and his death on the cross. Thank God the Lord Jesus is not on the cross now. He's not in a tomb now. He's risen from the dead, but he completed a work. He completed the work that he was given to do, and that involved his sacrifice upon the cross. And Abel's sacrifice really pointed on to a recognition of the death of Jesus as the one and only means whereby people could get right with God. Are you right with God? You might be brought up in a Christian home. Thank God for that. But every one of us needs to get right with God. Every one of us needs to recognize that we're sinners and we need a Savior, and accept God's wonderful provision through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, whereby we can get right with God and we can enjoy God's love and his favour forever and ever. Now poor Cain, alas, he didn't listen to God, and he went to, not only did he bring an offering that was not pleasing to God, He also killed his brother. You ever think about what's going on in the world? All the murder there is, all the crime there is. It all goes back to sin. It all goes back to the fact that we belong to a human race. It all goes back to the fact that the God of this world urges people to commit serious crimes against others. And poor Cain, he didn't listen to God and he went and murdered his brother. God spoke to him and eventually he left. He went out from the presence of God. Wonderful to think of Jesus coming into this world, a world of violence, a world of domination by the Roman Empire, a world where people had turned their backs on God. Jesus came into this world. A world, too, where people thought they were great. Some people thought they were good and obeying the law of Moses and so on, but they weren't. They were binding burdens hard to bear upon others. I'm not lifting a finger to help them, but God came in to help people. To help you, to help me, to provide a way of salvation through the death of Jesus, whereby everyone who turns to God in repentance can be saved. So, Cain killed his brother Abel, and he went out from the presence of God. What did he do? He built a city. He developed great agriculture. He developed music. He developed all kinds of instruments. The world's full of all kinds of things. Commerce, business, agriculture, manufacturing, charm, entertainment. All these things God takes account of, but people use to keep themselves busy away from God. The way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Jesus came into this world where people had done all kinds of things by then, but Jesus came into the world to seek and to save us who were lost. So it speaks about in the Bible about the way of Cain, a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are other people in the Bible. There's a man called Balaam in the Bible. It speaks of, in the same passage in the letter of Jude, about Balaam. Balaam was a man who was hired by another king to curse the children of Israel. He was wanted to curse the children of Israel. Why? So he could get some money. It tells us in the Bible that the love of money is a root of every evil. How many crimes have been committed? How many wrong things have been done by people for money? Is money your object? You want to be rich? You want to be wealthy? You want to be the wealthiest person in Ireland? You know, Balaam wanted the reward of unrighteousness. Says he loved the reward of unrighteousness. And he was hired by a king called Balak to go and curse the children of Israel. And God spoke to him. God's speaking today in the gospel. He's trying to arouse people to their need of a saviour. But they should turn from their evil ways and turn and avail themselves of God's provision in the gospel in the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And Balaam was en route to go and curse Israel. And he was on a donkey, going along there. And God used events that happened 3 times by trying to stop the ass taking Balaam on his journey. You know, God can warn us. It's God's great provision. He can warn us through circumstances. He's warned me through circumstances at times in my life. He can warn you in your circumstances, events that happen to you, and maybe pull you up, and maybe stop you temporarily from what you're doing. And that's what God did to Balaam. And he was still on his way, and eventually God opened his eyes when the ass stopped. And and he wouldn't go any further despite being beaten by this man called Balaam. And God said to Balaam, the way in which thou walkest is for ruin before me. I wonder if there's anybody here on a ruinous way, on the broad way that leads to destruction, a broad way that leads to death, a broad way that leads to a sinful life, a broad way that would eventually lead to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to end up that way. God wants you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know him for yourself as your own wonderful Savior. Well, God stopped Balaam. And God forced Balaam, instead of cursing his people, to bless them. God can change things, you know. God can change people's opinion, change what they want to say. But poor Balaam, he didn't get the gain of it. Eventually he was killed in a battle. It speaks about Balaam as loving the reward of unrighteousness. I wonder if anybody's here on a way that seems right to them, but the way thereof is the end that leads to death. Well, Jesus came to provide a way, the way, the only way to God. And when the early Christians started to preach, Peter says that salvation is in none other, for neither is a name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I preach an exclusive gospel, but there's one way to salvation, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one sacrifice that's acceptable to God, and that's the death of Jesus that he did long time ago. But now he's no longer in death. He's seated at the right hand of God, but he's available. He's available to everyone to come in faith and put their trust in Jesus. I'll tell you about one other person who was in the wrong way, and his name was Saul of Tarsus. And that was after Jesus died and rose again. Became known as Paul. He wanted to kill off the Christians. People are still doing that today in some country, seeking to kill off the Christians. There are people in this country who would like to stop all Christian messages going out and Christian standards being adhered to by Christians. And Saul of Tarsus was like that. He was against everything connected with the name of Jesus. He was on a way that seemed right to him. He thought he was being zealous for God, but the way thereof was the way of death. But God spoke to him. Jesus spoke to him. He spoke to him softly. He spoke to him tenderly. He spoke out of love to him and alerted him. He spoke to him, said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul listened, and he was broken down. He was subdued by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful to be subdued by Jesus. Have you given your heart to Christ? Have you put your trust in him? He's not here physically on earth. He's in heaven at the right hand of God. He's been crowned there. He's been crowned with glory and honour in heaven. Not yet crowned on the earth. One day he will be. He'll have the crown of all the earth. Every knee will bow to Jesus throughout the whole world. But meantime, if you bow the knee to Jesus, you'll get blessing. And you'll be delivered from a way that seems right to a man, but the end and all of the ways of death. Saul of Tarsus listened to the voice of Jesus. I hope you'll listen to the voice of Jesus. Doesn't matter what I say, my voice, but listen to the voice of Jesus. He would speak to you. He speaks to people in different ways. But it's Christ's voice. And he would say, "Come to me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He would say, "Come to me." God is inviting us to come to Jesus tonight. He's a wonderful Saviour. A wonderful Saviour, a wonderful friend, a wonderful person to get to know. In all the ups and downs there is of life, through sickness and pain, through suffering, through unemployment, all the things that can happen to you in life, Jesus is a wonderful Saviour. He'll stand by you. He'll support you. I urge you to come to him. He's the way, the one and only way to God. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This world's full of ideas, of self-improvement, of self-aggrandisement, of telling people other ways in which they could live apart from God. But there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But there is a way, one way. The way, and Jesus himself is the way. He doesn't only point the way, he did point the way when he was here in teaching, but he himself is the way. Salvation is bound up with a wonderful person called the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would urge everyone here, if you've not already put your faith in Christ, to come to him now and prove his help. You know, the Apostle Paul said many years after putting his faith in Jesus, and of being subdued by the grace of God, he says, having met with the help which is from God, I've stood firm to this day. Great thing to prove someone standing by you, supporting you, helping you, day by day in your life, all the way through life. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants to be, an all the way home Saviour. I commend him to you. One day, if you put your trust in Jesus, you'll come, he'll come, and you'll see him face to face. And you'll be like him, as I will. Great thing to have a hope that centres in Jesus. A living hope. A blessed hope. A hope that won't fade away. Whatever happens in this world, whatever happens politically, in the wars and troubles of the world, whatever happens in government changes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. What a wonderful Saviour he is. I commend him to you. Put your trust in him now. There's the ways that seem right to a man, but the end of all are the ways of death. Maybe you've got your own idea. People say to me, I've got my own religion. Well, maybe they have got their own religion. But there's only one way to God. And God's made it very simple for us. He hasn't complicated things. Jesus said, I am the way. Put your trust in Jesus. Find your way to the heart of God. And then by repenting of your sins and putting your trust in Jesus, you can know the joy of getting them settled forever, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and having a power within you, enabling you to live a life here for the pleasure of God and to enjoy his favour forever and ever. I commend Jesus to you. He's the way, the one and only way to God, the one and only way to live a godly life, the one and only way to live for the pleasure of God, is to prove the help that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, and every one of us come to know him as our Saviour and friend, for his name's sake. Amen.